Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
John Landecker at 910 with Elton Jim on the phone. Elton Jim.
Hey, it's John Landecker. I'm going to try to follow up that last conversation about how we poop protein. I hope it can be as entertaining. I'll try my best.
Well, get yourselves. Well, you're going to poop no matter what you eat, so so go for it. There is. Is this tomorrow?
No, on Friday.
Friday the 13th.
But it's going to be a good luck day for Elton John fans. No question about that.
Well, tell us all about it.
Well, a couple of months ago, in Elton World was rocked by the news that they were going to release on Friday a 8-disc, 148-song. Box set that would include 60 never-before-heard early demos that Elton recorded beginning from 1965, a bunch of deep cuts from all of his albums that he has personally chosen as songs that never were released as singles, but songs on his albums that he would like people to hear, and then also some of the B-sides on the flip sides of the vinyl records that were released from the 80s through today. So this is probably one of the most comprehensive, musical packages that Elton has ever released. So the diehard fans are really going crazy because this is a compilation that we've been waiting for 40 years.
You've been waiting for this for 40 years?
Well, over his career, they have reconfigured and repackaged.
Yeah, I know.
It's the same 25 greatest hits every which way but loose.
I got you.
And of course, if you're an Elton John fan, you have to be a completist. So I've got every one of those, but it's just the same songs in a different order with a different cover and a different title.
And probably a different recording system. Technology.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, believe me.
Digitized.
Vinyl, cassettes,
yep.
CDs, 8-tracks, and even a few reel-to-reels.
Elton John songs on reel-to-reel?
Yeah, they released, up through about 1974, they released all of his albums on small reel-to-reel tapes.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I was playing Elton John records on the... On the air, I never had any idea that they were available on reel-to-reel.
Yeah, they're hard to find now, obviously.
And
it wasn't a big market, but in fact, from what I understand, the sound quality was really good.
Wow. So, this what started your... I mean, they call it your Jim Toronto, but they call you Elton Jim.
Yeah.
You're a super fan. How did this super fandom come about?
Well,
for you?
You were playing Elton's music throughout the from the 70s and
day one.
So I remember the first Elton John record I bought was Crocodile Rock 45 in 1973. So that's kind of where I start my fandom, and it's hard to really explain to people today. And you can relate to this, but just how big he was from, say, 72 to 76. There were some times here in Chicago where I would hit the AM dial and hit all the top 40 stations and literally go from one to another, and there was an Elton John song on.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, he was that big. And so, obviously, listening to the radio, I mean, you're hearing Elton John. Obviously, I was... Certainly, the flamboyance of the the glasses and the costumes,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then in 1976, when I was 12, thanks to my great mom, she took me to the Chicago Stadium, and that's the first time I saw him perform.
Wow, awesome!
And so, little did I know back then that I would attend 196 concerts after that.
What?
Oh yeah, I'm on my way to the last concert I saw. In fact, was about a year ago from today, on November 15th, in Boston. It was my 197th show, and I was planning on having my 200th in June in here in Chicago, but I'll have to wait at least till 2022 and hopefully pick up my streak again.
Wow. Well, we got to do more with you, Elton, Jim, and talk more about this box set and some other Elton-related items.
And I have to say, I have you to thank for meeting Elton John. How's that for a tease?
Good. We'll find out why. Coming back on 720 WGN.
Through a glass eye, a throne is the one danger zone. Take me to the pilot for control.
Yeah, take me to the pilot of your soul. That's Elton John with John Landecker, 19 minutes after 9. And we're talking to Elton Jim. Not Elton John, Elton Jim. Jim Toronto,
right.
Elton John, super fan. And you made a very good comment there, you know, from 70, whatever it was, the mid-70s. You turned on any radio station and they were playing Elton John. And the reason is, my theory is, that he recorded songs that could be hits. You know what I mean? Like, on AM radio, but he also recorded songs that were far more complicated and also lengthier that FM radio ate up because they were great songs. They just weren't pop, you know, three-minute songs.
That's actually a good point, too, because this new box set is called Elton the Jewel Box, And what I really like about it is, and exactly what you're talking about is, you know, most people know Elton John for the radio hits, you know, mm-hmm. the Your Songs, The Bitches Back, Saturday Night's Are for Fighting. But the thing that, as a longtime fan who knows his music inside and out, his music, especially in the 70s, as you said, many of the songs were 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes long. You know, Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding is 11 minutes long.
That's
from
right.
Goodbye Olympic
yeah.
Road. And
yeah.
so those songs could never get played on AM because they always liked the 3 minutes in and out
yep.
kind of songs. And so, as you said, the FM progressive stations love to play those. And so he got played on both of those, but really, what as a fan and thinking about his legacy now is he's in his mid-70s and, you know, hopefully he hangs around for a while and you hope that his music continues to be heard and appreciated is there is so much, he's got such a deep catalog of great music that many people have not heard because they just heard the songs that were on the radio as opposed mm-hmm. to hearing some of these deeper cuts. So that's what I'm actually excited about this new box set, because it will be exposing more of these other songs that diehard fans have known for 40 or 50 years, but the masses really don't. And what I think is really unique about him is, and as you know, again, having been involved in the music business at that time, you know, most people who released albums in the 70s, they were lucky to have one or two hits on an album. And I would argue that Elton, his albums were so filled with high-quality songs that they could have released 4 or 5 singles off of some of his albums. But he was under a contract. We had to deliver 2 albums a year.
Mm.
So by the time the second single from one album was released, they were already preparing the next album to be released instead of really mining the current album for some more songs that could have really exposed it more. So as popular and as successful as he was during that time, I argue he could have actually had more hits, which is crazy to think about when you think he had 7 consecutive number one albums from 72 to 75. I mean, that's
right.
And he was the first artist in history. The Beatles never did it before him. Frank Sinatra never did it before him. Elvis Presley never did it before him. Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy entered the charts at number one
yep.
in 1975. And no artist had ever done that before that. Now that's commonplace, but back in 75,
yeah.
no one had done that before he did.
Now, before we went to the commercial break, you said that I'm responsible for you meeting Elton John?
Yes, yes,
How
you are.
How is this happening?
Okay, well, I have been a radio fan almost longer than I've been an Elton John fan. I listened to you religiously, as like everyone else did in the 70s on WLS AM.
Right.
And in 1976, when Elton was in Chicago, you did a play-by-play of an amazing event at the Playboy Mansion when Hef still lived here.
Yep.
A foosball game between Elton John and his lyricist Bernie Taupin and Bart Benton and Hugh Hefner's girl. It was Hugh Hefner's girlfriend and Hugh Hefner.
Yep.
And I listened to this, and I was obviously mesmerized, and as well as a little jealous that you were able to do that. And so at the age of 12, I said to myself, how can I meet Elton John? Well, geez, you know, John Landecker is on the radio, and he got to meet him. So maybe that's a route I can take. And so I decided at that time I wanted to be on the radio. I wanted to pursue a media career. And little did I know that about 18 years later, I would be meeting Elton John backstage.
Very good. You see, it's a wonderful life. Okay.
So,
listen, at that time...
So I owe you a great debt.
There were a couple of things. It was all public relations. It was all, you know, he wanted to have success with his music, and the radio station wanted to have success as a radio station. So it was sort of hand in hand for a while. And I did a couple of things over at the Playboy Mansion on North State Parkway when it was there and Hefner was there. One was a luncheon, but the thing you're referring to, I happen to have it with me. Is,
oh, really?
Yeah. Is,
oh, very cool. I haven't heard this in I haven't heard this since 1976.
Well, get ready. Okay, so the scenario is that in the, I guess you would call it the game room of the Playboy Mansion, there was a foosball game, right?
Right.
Where you're
yeah, it's like soccer. Packed. It's like a board. Soccer game, you know, with a board,
right. And you've got Bernie Taupin and Elton John playing Hugh Hefner and Barbie Benton, and I happen to be there doing play-by-play. Here we go.
Oh! It's getting very hot and heavy. The team of Elton John and Bernie Taupin now 2 points behind the team of Barbie Benton and Hugh Hefner. Another score! Another score has been made by the team of John and Taupin. It is now one... The team of Benton and Hefner leads by only one small point. The game is moving into its... Oh! Another score! Ladies and gentlemen, it's a tie game. We are heading into an exciting finale here in the basement. Oh! Another score! Ladies and gentlemen, the game is over. The team of Elton John and Bernie Taupin has won. The handshakes are being made across the table and congratulatory remarks. A kiss from Elton to Barbie Benton. The game is over. We bring you a post-game interview with the winner. And the winning team this time was comprised of Elton John and Bernie Taupin.
Oh, shucks. It was really tough, you know. We were four down, and Taupin was playing like an absolute bag of wind. But all of a sudden, you know, we had the British spirit, and we got ahead. We got five in a row, and Barbie and Hef just folded, you know. We were really lucky, you know, because I really thought that we were in for the silver, but we just...
You did have to come from behind.
I always do.
And that's the end of that comer.
Oh, he was still Randy even back then.
Oh, are you kidding? He was totally accessible. He was up for anything.
I remember listening to that when that was on. And you know, I don't even know if you remember, but about 20 some years ago, we had a chance to meet and talk. And I told you that a photo of that appeared in 1977 in a book that was a kind of a chronicle of the 1976 tour. And you are in this book called It's a Little Bit Funny, which chronicles his 1976 tour. The time that he was in Chicago, there's two pictures of you in that book.
Where do I get this book? Is it still available somewhere?
Yeah, you know what? You could probably go on eBay. It's called It's a Little Bit Funny. Go on eBay. I bet you somebody would be selling it. Yeah.
Also, Connie Saracen, who is no longer on the air, I believe, in Chicago, but was then, is also down there in that game room.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, well, her, I believe she's in the picture too. So,
that was really the height of his popularity. I mean, yeah. He had just played Dodger Stadium at the end of 1975, but that tour in 76, he did four sold out shows at the Chicago Stadium, and apparently the Wirtz family wanted him to do a fifth, but they didn't expect it, and so he was already booked, and he finished that tour doing seven sold out shows at Madison Square Garden. So that was really the pinnacle of his popularity.
You know, we're getting close to the bottom of the hour, but there's a couple of other things I want to touch on about this box set. Can you hang out for a little bit?
I'm here as long as you need me, sir.
All right. Because we really haven't gotten into some of the facts about this box set that people may be interested in hearing about, especially if they are Elton John fans. So we'll do that. And we'll also have good news coming up within the next half hour. And we'll see what else happens here at 720 WGN. I never learned why meteors were fall. Yeah, you probably thought something else was going to come in there. Hey, Elton Jim.
Yes, sir.
What song is that?
It's called Grace Seal. In fact, that's the original version. And, of course, then the more popular version was on 1973's Goodbye Olympic Road. But that was from probably 1969.
No. That is Good Morning to the Night, a dance cut from 2012 with somebody named PNAU. Hold it.
Yeah, that's for now. Yeah, that's the...
Huh?
Yeah, that part of Grace Seal you played at the beginning, but that Pinnell, a few years ago, they're an electronic band, and he basically gave them his master tapes and said, go ahead, go nuts, and create new songs out of my old songs.
Who brings out a Pinnell Elton John song with Elton Jim, John Landecker? Thank you very much.
I gotta tell you,
Record Stoolie is my
real
name.
Very impressed.
Okay, so
very impressed.
There's an Elton John box set that's coming out tomorrow. Elton,
no, on Friday.
On Friday. Why do I keep saying tomorrow? On Friday.
Yeah, today's you know,
but we have not mentioned Bernie Taupin.
No. And I think what's great about this box set is called Elton the Jewel Box. And as I said, it's got 148 songs, 60 of which are the old demos that many have never been heard or officially released. Many of them have been on bootleg, and I've got these, but now they're in pristine. Everything's been remastered. And what really is great about this, especially when you mentioned Bernie Taupin, when you listen, I mean, I haven't heard the box set yet. It hasn't come out, but I've seen the track listing, and knowing some of these songs, you really will get a chance. This really unfolds like the Elton John story, almost like a book, because it starts with some of his earliest stuff from 1965, and he and Bernie met in 1967, and you can hear that they're both finding their way, and they're finding their voice, and Bernie Taupin's lyrics initially are very kind of naive and very simple, and don't forget, you know, when they got together in 1967, this is the time of Sgt. Pepper. Most people don't think of Elton as a peer to the Beatles, but he really was. And so there is some early psychedelia kind of music, and you could see them. The songs are kind of naive, and they're just kind of youthful. And as you listen to more of the songs, you do hear the music begin to get more mature, and the lyrics starting to get a lot more focused. And really, those very unique Bernie Taupin lyrics. The great thing about Bernie Taupin is, at the end of the day, he describes things in ways with metaphors that you would never have thought about. And I think that's what makes his lyrics so interesting, is that he will look at something and you would just say, well, there's a bright moon, but he'll describe it in a way. One of my favorite lines is from a song from Tumbleweed Connection called Come Down in Time. And the line is just so beautiful. It's the first line is, a cluster of night jars sang some songs out of tune, a mantle of bright light shone down from a room. Now, you know, that would just be there's a bunch of candles by a fireplace.
Well, Bernie Taupin lyrics, you know, are at least I would think, at least 50% of Elton John's success, because they are
50%, and he is basically set without Bernie Taupin there with Elton John, because he delivers the lyrics for it. A lot of people, I don't know if they don't know this by this time, but the songs start with Bernie Taupin's lyrics.
Right,
Elton,
right.
For the 99% of the songs, there's been a few. In fact, Elton actually wrote the tune to "Don't Go Breaking My Heart" first, and then called Taupin, and he had that line in his head. He said, "Hey, because you're writing a song with that title." But for the most part, it's Bernie giving Elton the lyrics.
Yep.
And then he sits down, and sometimes within a couple of minutes, the tune is written. It's an amazing, and they've actually documented this on some documentaries where they've shown him, Elton, being handed a set of lyrics, and within a half hour, he's written a song. It's really an amazing, it's just an amazing talent that I don't even think he knows how he does it, to be honest with you.
So this is an 8-disc collection with rarities, B-sides, and fan favorites, all curated by Elton John. And it'll be available in numerous formats. And this is to be where it gets a little interesting, including an 8-CD box set that comes with a hardcover book full of photos and commentary. Then there's a 4-LP set, a 3-LP set, and a 2-LP version. It will
John, I have those all ordered.
And it will also be available as a digital download and through streaming services. What? How do I pick which one I want?
That's why you just don't have to pick. You get them all.
You get them all. But they all contain, I don't know. We'll just have to find out. And I'll ask you about it. You know what?
Yeah.
You should come back after you reviewed absolutely everything and give us your impressions on
That'd be great. I'm going to be hunkered down thanks to COVID, so I have nothing to do except listen to those 8 discs over and over over the weekend, so there's no question.
Do you have a girlfriend, or are you married, or do you have
I've been married for 30 years. Yeah, and she's
what does she think of this?
Well, our house is kind of a mini shrine to Elton. I'm sitting in a room now looking at my two Elton John pinball machines.
Oh, my God.
And in fact, the funny thing is, just through osmosis, she's probably seen 50 or so Elton. She's probably seen more Elton John concerts than some many fans have just coming with me over the last 30 years.
Is she excited about this new box set?
the thing is, too, we're about the same age, so she grew up with Elton. I mean, she's certainly not a fan to the depth that I am.
Yeah, I know.
But she's certainly an Elton fan, there's no question.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim.
Well, thank
Elton
you. I owe you my meeting of Elton John.
Well, I was very happy to be to find out that I was a part of that.
Yes.
Elton Jim Toronto has been our guest, talking about the massive career-spanning box set, Elton Jewel Box, coming out on Friday. Thanks, Jim. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, John.